You're listening to the Heartland Alliance Church Audio Podcast, leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. Thanks for sharing this moment with us.
God, we're thankful that we get to be in church today. We know if we were to see church from your vantage point, we would know that there are many around the world who don't have a place to go. Many who are living in persecuted churches where it's not safe to go. And so God, I pray that today we would recognize your goodness to us and your goodness that we get to live in a country like this. So I pray that as we worship and as we tell you of our love for you and we sense your presence back again, that there'd be a part of us that's very thankful for what we have here. God, we think of our youth retreat going on up at Nakaman, and I pray that this would be a great time of insight for our youth. I pray for Wade as he leads that, Pastor Wade as he leads that and his team. And God, I pray that there would be many significant things learned by our youth. We also pray for our children over here. We pray that as they understand for some of the first time in their life that you have a love for them, that you want to know them. I pray that you'd be with both teachers and students over there. And so God, we continue to submit to your word. We know that at times it'll say some things to us that are about the kingdom and about how we move and grow and mature. And God, you have a desire for us to grow and mature in your kingdom. And so today I pray you'd teach us. Teach us the next steps of our growth in line with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to say a special welcome to those of you who are in the East. And for those of you who are joining us online, we're glad you're with us. While we live in a very fast-paced world, we live on the run. And we have fast foods and drive-throughs, fast cars, technology, appliances that help us to be more efficient and to move through life faster. But I wonder if that's good for us. I heard the news on Friday night that 1 in 5 university students are struggling with mental health issues related to depression and anxiety. And they went on to say that the expectations in some of our schools is so high and our society is so high and people are running and they're moving at a very fast rate, not taking care of their souls. And I would say not taking care of their spirits as well. Jesus had some important things to say about making sure we didn't go through life too fast. And there were many times we read where the crowds were pressing him and there were so many things to do and so many things to take care of that he withdrew into the hills and he would spend time on his own and kind of slow life down a little bit. And so this week we are, as you've already heard, we are having a week of prayer and fasting. And this is a time when we intentionally want to slow life down a little bit. And let me ask you a question. Are you going too fast? You take that two different ways. Are you going too fast in life? Are you going to fast this week? And so I pray that you would listen to God and understand what he's saying to you. And maybe he wants to say to you some specific things about what you're going to do in response to fasting. Now, we know that it's a very important thing. We read this in Scripture. 69 times it talks about this in the Bible. And Jesus said, I want you to be healthy spiritually. And he said that part of that will be fasting. And we're going to explore that a little bit later. But for now, I want you to take your bulletin insert. If you don't have one, I stole one out of a bulletin, so you might have got that bulletin. And you might need one, so just raise your hand and an usher will make sure you get one. I want to say, first of all, that understanding biblical fasting is key to walking well in the kingdom. And I'm not sure we really understand this really well. We don't talk about it a lot. We don't practice it a lot in churches. We probably don't even practice it as much as God would love us to practice it, individually or corporately. There's two different ways of looking at fasting. But let me give you a quick definition before we get going here, in case you're even wondering, what are you talking about here? The original word, the Greek word, is a compound word, nestoria, ni, right at the start is of that word, is a negative prefix. Estio means to eat, so it simply means not to eat. So biblical fasting is going without food voluntarily for spiritual purposes. And Jesus spoke about the importance of fasting, and the Pharisees, who were always ready to try and trip him up and try to get him to say something that he didn't really want to say in the heat of the moment, they said this to him. They questioned him in Matthew chapter 9, verse 15. And they said, the Pharisees fast, John the Baptist's disciples fast, why don't your disciples fast? And Jesus responded in 9:15. He said, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Listen to this. Then they will fast. Jesus was indicating that fasting would become a necessity. A necessity. When the bridegroom, Jesus, was taken away. While Jesus, who was God manifest in the flesh in the form of a man, was still on this earth, his followers enjoyed this close fellowship with him. And they went out and did exactly what he was doing, and he anointed them and gave them the power to preach and to heal the sick and to cast out demons. And they went all over the country speaking about what Jesus, the difference Jesus could make in their life and helping people to grow. But I've never noticed this before. Very interesting. Luke 22. Listen to how he sends them. This is verse 35 and 36. Jesus asked them, when I sent you without purse, which is money for the men here, without money. I don't usually take my purse anywhere I go. So that's just me, I guess. Don't take a bag or even sandals. Can you imagine going on a mission with no money, no bag, no shoes? Isn't that kind of strange? And yet Jesus said, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. They said, we lack nothing. Can you imagine the way that God was teaching them that he was going to provide for all their needs as they went? He said to them, but now if you have a purse or money, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. What he's saying, when I leave this earth, things are going to be different. It's going to be very different as you live in the kingdom, as you go out and minister. Jesus was teaching that there would be this entire dynamic would change. And the disciples would need different preparation and different provision. Fasting would become necessary, part of the preparation to live well in the kingdom of God, is what he was saying, as well as a number of other things. Now, I want to say to you that we need to be intentional about how we live. And here's the reason. In order that our faith will grow. We've been talking about this a little bit in the last little while, about Jesus who has met people, and he'll say to people, wow, the faith that you have is amazing. Your faith is going to heal you. Your faith is going to sustain you. Wow, such great faith I haven't seen in many places. Other times he says, ooh, your faith is so weak. Is there a way we can kind of increase your faith level? And I've asked myself the question, if I was to meet Jesus and I walked out of this into the foyer here and he was to come up to me, I wonder what he would say as he took my faith temperature. What would he say about you? What would he say about me? While he's still deeply concerned about the level of faith that we have. And so he would say to us, and the Spirit of God would be leading us, how do I help your faith to grow? How do I help you to sense God and to mature in life? And so fasting and prayer is one of the things that he would say will increase your faith. He also told us that reading the word would be important to building our faith. Being in community would be important to our faith. And they would grow our faith and we would mature. That's what he wants for us, to mature. And I would bet that every one of you, the Spirit of God would say to you, I want you to take the next step. And if you were to listen, and you were to take a week and fast and pray and say, God, what is my next step? What do you have for me? What do you want for me? He would tell you, this is your next step in maturity. Well, biblical fasting, unlike fasting for medical health reasons, must be done with a focus. So As I'm speaking here today, be open to hear what the Spirit might be saying to you about the focus that you need to have this week. Maybe there's a particular issue that he says, I want you to hone in on this issue. I want you to focus on this issue as you fast and pray. Now, Jesus never said if you should happen to be fasting as if it was an option. He presented it not as an option, but something that we should be doing all the time. It should be part of it's his expectation of us. That if we're going to live well in the kingdom, fasting should be a part of our life. I've got a doctor who fasts once, at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. I kind of go, wow, buddy, like that's way out of my scope. But I wonder if it is, if it should be. We fast around here twice a year as a corporate body. But I'm thinking there needs to be more fasting going on as I look at the passage I look at. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if you're going to live well in the kingdom, fasting needs to be a part of your life. And he says, when you fast, notice not if you should fast, but when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they're fasting. So it's become a pride thing for those who want to look spiritual. I don't know if we have those kind of issues anymore, but back then that was an issue. People wanted to look like they were spiritually put together. Jesus says, got it all wrong. He says, I tell you, if you're fasting this way, he says, they have received their reward in full. Can't say I've ever noticed that word reward before. Even though I've preached on this and I've looked at the text, there's just another layer that I just realized, hey, that's there. I didn't realize that. But listen to what he says. And he says again, when you fast, wash your face so that it will not be obvious that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret, and he will reward you. Two things stand out in these three verses. First of all, God expects that we would be fasting. That would be a part of the kingdom of God. Secondly, there's a reward. Like I said, I never noticed this before, but there's a reward here. It says it twice. And I wondered, what might that reward be? Could it be a reward? Maybe something that concerns you. Maybe it's something that you're struggling with, wrestling with. Maybe it's your kids. Well, the reward may be that as you fast and pray, instead of just praying, or instead of just worrying, you'll do something. It might be that his power and presence would be greater in your life because of this fasting and prayer. Maybe it's a reward that we're going to enjoy in heaven. But I want to say that there is a reward here for fasting. Let's move on to the next phrase. Fasting calls us to maturity. Now, fasting is not a matter of tormenting our body, but rather it's subjecting it to its rightful place under the control of the Holy Spirit. So I realize that from a physical, mental, emotional standpoint, fasting isn't fun. I don't enjoy it. I love to eat. And I need to eat. If I don't, it's going to be long, I'm going to be in trouble. You see, but my body will react. When I stop eating, my body will react violently. Like there's a little temper tantrum going to happen here in my body. And I expect that of my grandkids at times, but man, I sure don't expect it of me. But I'll tell you, I get irritable when I'm fasting. I get irritable. I can get grumpy. Just ask the people I work with. I can even get discouraged and depressed. And my stomach incites other parts of my body to join them in the fight. And so I will feel weak. I'll feel cold, if you can believe it. I'll actually turn the temperature up for those of you who have to live with me. And I'm achy. And I'm dizzy or lightheaded. And it's a warning. My breath is bad when I'm fasting. So I'll try to do something about that, but just to let you know, that's the way that my body reacts. It does a little temper tantrum on me, and my stomach actually sounds like it's yelling out, "Hey, What's going on up there? What's happening? How come there's no food? Hey, brain, tell the hands and the mouth to open up and get some food down here to me. What is going on? And if you don't get after it soon, I'll turn up the heat on you. I'll make it even worse. So there's this kind of dialogue going on in my body, and I can sense it. And my stomach is saying, hey, I'm the boss here. I've been calling the shots for years. Hey, emotions, help me here. I helped you. Remember the nights we would go down to the fridge when you were feeling bad? And I would make it feel like, you know, you're hungry. I was helping you. Can you help me in this? How come you're changing things? How come you're bossing me around and demanding and tormenting me? You see, for many of us, myself included, my stomach tries to control me. And when I was a little kid and I was in my crib and I was crying out because I was hungry at 3 a.m, or when I have the grandkids on the weekend, 6 a.m, one of them comes in and says, I am hungry. Like they're expecting me to get out of bed and feed them. Because the stomach is telling them something needs to happen here. But you know, as I grew up, my mom kind of probably told me, hey, that's not appropriate anymore. You're getting a little too old to do those kinds of things. You can get your own stuff. And so as I matured, I realized it's not a great way to live. My stomach should not be my boss. So soon my soul became my boss. And that's my mind, my will, and my emotions. And so my mind began to say, you know what? Because the stomach has been the boss for so long, we're gaining a little bit of weight here, and you need to do something about that. So my mind will actually discipline my body and say, let's get out working out. Let's get doing some stuff here. Cut the food consumption a bit. My mind is actually becoming the boss as we mature. And we're making better decisions. So remember, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so our mind can tell, especially as guys here, we start feeling a little emotional. Uh-oh, not in public. And so your mind will say, okay, emotions, it kind of need to shut down a little bit here. This is, you don't want to cry here. You don't want to laugh here. So our mind begins to control those things. That's the process of maturing. And we just make better decisions when we mature. So then God comes along and he said, actually, the way I've designed you definitely is not for your stomach to lead. It's not actually for your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions to lead. But it's actually by your spirit. And so our spirit becomes alive when we become followers of Jesus. And it is intended to lead. So now it begins to lead and there's a change. And God says, if you're going to mature, if you're going to deal with the things you need to deal with in the kingdom, your spirit is going to now be in charge. And your spirit is going to inform your mind. And your mind is going to, and your soul. And your soul is going to inform your body, your flesh, that is no longer the boss. Here's how it works. The Holy Spirit would tell you when you die, when you leave this earth, you have eternal life now. You didn't before, but now you do. You have eternal life. So you need to stop thinking in finite terms. You need to begin to think in eternal terms, infinite terms. Because your life is not stopping when you're done, but it's going on. And so this should affect our priorities, what we think, how we think, the way we do things. It should affect a lot of life. Things like the kingdom of God would say, Jesus would say, when you give, you're just not throwing your money away, but you're actually going to gain. Says that often in scripture. He says, if you could give to me, I'll return it as a gain. I'll either bless you spiritually. I will bless you materially. I will be on your side. And so if we shut God out of our finances by saying, I'm not following what you've said to me, it has implications on how we live. The Spirit of God is our spirit that's controlled by the Spirit of God is going to be nudging our soul and our body to do certain things. Maybe this whole idea of we're suffering. And we need to understand that there's eternal implications in our suffering. We can turn the suffering around with the help of God. And even though we're suffering physically, we can be growing spiritually. And then when it comes to fasting, the Spirit of God would say to our spirit, when you go without food, you're actually going to grow. So not all of life is about the rational, but some life is about the sum of life, and most of life is about the spiritual. And so now your spirit is informing your mind and will and emotions that informs your flesh and your body. Instead of your body and your flesh dictating, like it does to a lot of people, we're going to turn this around now. And that's how the Spirit is going to be nudging you and urging you if you're a follower of Jesus. He wants to mature you. He has a design for you. Paul would bear this out in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Listen to what he says. He says, Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers to equip his people. Guess what those are? Those are gifts. And we have been talking all fall about the gifts. Some of you are in a Connects group that's talking about gifts. Some of you are in your own life group and you're talking about gifts. We're doing a lot of talking about gifts. Whole lot of studying going on. This is what he's talking about. He says these gifts are to mature the church, the body. And what are they doing? They're equipping his people for works of service. You've heard that before. That's our value that we're studying, we're working through for a whole year. Free to serve. So the body of Christ, that's the church, may be built up. That's what he's trying to do. Not just trying to build us up individually, spiritually, but also as a church body. Until we all reach unity in the flesh and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants. Some people, because they don't want to grow and mature, remain infants or remain adolescents spiritually. They don't want to take the next step. Tossed back and forth by waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. God is saying, fasting will help you mature and grow. Fasting will bring about maturity. Now, I hear a lot these days about sexual desire, about pornography that's got people in its grip. And I heard an interesting story as I listened to a podcast from Tim Ross, a pastor in Texas, who was gripped by this addiction of pornography. And his wife said to him, if you don't get this straightened up, I'm out of here. Like, I'm sick of living like this with your issues. So he realized this is serious. And he went to God and he said, how do I sort through this issue? This is destroying me. It's destroying my walk with God. It's destroying my family and my wife and my relationship. It's a mess. And he said God called him to a 21-day fast. And he said, without food for 21 days? Are you kidding me? God said, you want to beat this thing or not? I'm calling you to take out the big guns, the weapons, to destroy this thing that has got a hold of you. So he did the 21-day fast. And it may sound simplistic, but this is his words. He said, I've never struggled another day in my life. And then he went on to say, you see, what happened is my mind or my soul, which is my mind, my will, and emotions, my mind led me astray into a place that God would never want me. My emotions, because I wasn't expressing them well, caused me to get into this mess. And my will was involved and I made poor decisions. So now how am I going to straighten out what my soul has done? And he said, it was my spirit that came to the rescue. So I reversed the process of listening to my soul and began to listen to my spirit. And it was through fasting that that was done. You see, my soul had cut these deep ruts in my brain. And he said, my spirit wanted to cover those ruts and cut some new ones. And it was through the spirit that that happened. It may sound simplistic to you, but I'm telling you this morning that there is power. These are the tools that God's given us in the kingdom. These are the weapons that he's given us to fight with. Are we using them? There are others who struggle with bitterness and unforgiveness, and Ah, I've been there. I know what that's like. It's not a great place to be when you're trying to grow and mature in the kingdom of God. In fact, it'll put a stop to any kind of growth that you have, because God will come back and say, until you've sorted that out, we're not going anywhere. And he'll be urging you and nudging you to straighten that out. Get that right. And so it may be that fasting takes you to a place where you say, okay, God, I'm hearing you. I need to straighten this out. And we're going to go do that right now. I know you're coming with me and you'll help me. It may be fear and worry and anxiety and insecurity that's rolling around in our body and soul and causing all sorts of issues. Well, the Spirit's going to be nudging you and urging you that you need to begin to stop listening to your soul and start listening to your spirit. Start following what the spirit of your spirit is saying and get your soul and your body in line. You don't help the situation at all by worrying about your kids and having fear of what they're doing and living in insecurity. Oh, I can't do that and I can't do that and I can't do that because I'm just not good enough or I'm not there. No, the Spirit of God is going to be saying, no, let me take this. I got this. You just need to know that you're a child of the King. You need to know that you're loved and accepted and you're protected. I'm going to take care of these issues. You're actually teaching your kids the very wrong thing to do here as you sit and worry and stew about what they're up to. You'd be way more advanced if you would sit and you'd pray and you'd fast. And I'll help you to be a healthier person through the whole thing. Understand what I'm talking about? These are the weapons. These are the tools that we get in the kingdom of God. And so don't allow these ruts or deal with these ruts that were cut by a wayward soul. And let your spirit bring your soul under control so that you can begin to live without these ruts that are causing all kinds of trouble in your life. Let's move on. Fasting helps us to find direction. You may be struggling with direction right now. You may be wondering, what do I do with my job? Or you may be wondering, what do I do for a job? And you may have opportunities to move or to do whatever. And you want to hear from God. There's nothing better to do than to fast at times like that. Maybe it's your marriage. It's not working. You need wisdom. You need knowledge about what to do. Instead of looking at your partner and saying, well, if they'd only change. Fasting will help you maybe look inside of yourself and say, maybe I'm the one here that needs to change. What about parenting? I hear a lot about parenting around our community here, and people are concerned for the kids and all the things that are happening. How do I parent this child, you may be saying? It's not working. I'm at my wit's end. Best thing you could do, I think, would be to fast. Rather than chasing your kid around and wondering what they're doing, maybe God has a better handle on that than you do. And maybe it's time to go to Him. What about church? Maybe you're asking, should I come or should I go? And I think there's good reasons to leave a church and there's good reasons to come to a new church. There's all of that. But make sure that God is the one that's calling you. Maybe you're wondering, what is the gift that He's given me? I know He's given me a gift. What is it? That'd be a great time, great thing to fast over. Maybe it's about serving. We heard what he said in Ephesians. Where do I serve? How do I fit around here? I've been burned before when I've tried to serve. All of those things you could roll up into a bundle and take them into a week of prayer and fasting, and you would be well served by God in that capacity. Acts chapter 13 is one instance we have in Scripture where we see God giving direction around the whole area of fasting and prayer. I could give you a number of passages where Paul received directions in the book of Acts. And here it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And after they had fasted and prayed, they placed hands on them and sent them off. The church has always realized that fasting is the best way to allow God to lead it. We want to do that here this coming week. So understanding biblical fasting is key to walking well in the kingdom of God. Fasting calls us to maturity, helps us to find direction, and lastly, pushes back the darkness. Now, I don't know if it'll surprise you or not, but I get a lot of calls about spiritual warfare. And I get calls from our community here around us. I get calls from people in the church, from other churches, from other parts of the world. And they will say things to me like this. The devil is in my house. I've got demons in my house. I've got demons inside of me. And they will use even I feel like they possess me. They harass me. I'm seeing stuff. My kids, I believe, are affected by these things. And so people say, can you help me? And I always say, yes, I can help you. But it won't be me. It'll be Jesus. You see, understand? I got nothing to fix this. The enemy has much more power than I do. Much more of what it takes to influence than I do. But Jesus in me will defeat anything the enemy's got. So what are you willing to do here? I ask a lot of questions. Okay, how has he got authority over you? What are you doing in your life that's allowing this to happen? And do you want to do the work that's necessary? Do you want to pick up the weapons and you're actually going to have to use them? And here's some of the things that we'll talk about. I will mention, hey, your faith seems really weak. What about your church? Where's your church in all this? Often they'll say, well, I don't go to church. Well, if you go to church, then you need to go tell your church. Oh, my church doesn't believe in these things. That's why I'm calling you. So I get all these calls like this, and I'll ask them, have you been to Encounter? Oh, too busy for that. Or I'll ask them, can you get into community? Can you get to church? No, I don't have time for that. Are you willing to fast? Oh, that's way too hard. So it's kind of like, well, I don't know what to do with you. If you're not willing to journey with God to see this thing fixed, it's not a one-time deal. There's a story in Mark chapter 9. It's actually in some of the other Gospels as well. And a man brings his son to Jesus. And the son has a demonic spirit. And it says that it throws him down and he foams at the mouth and he gnashes his teeth and he actually lies out comatose at times. That's what the dad said. The dad said, I spoke to your disciples and they couldn't help me. And Jesus, it sounds like almost an exasperation. He says, bring him here. And it says, when this boy saw Jesus, the spirit within him convulsed. He fell to the ground. He wallowed and foamed at the mouth. And Jesus didn't address the boy. He addressed the father. And he said to the father, he said, how's your faith? And the father could have backed up and said, oh, what does that have to do with me? What Jesus was saying is, I can't follow you and your boy around to make sure that these things don't come back. In fact, he will tell us in other places of scripture, if you cast them out, they'll come back. You've got to build your spiritual house strong enough to withhold the attack that they're going to be. So he asks the father, how's your faith? The father says, I feel like my faith is weak, but Jesus, will you help my unbelief? Will you help my faith? And Jesus says yes, and he understands that the dad understands that it's going to be through Jesus and his power that's going to stop this thing. So Jesus commanded the spirit to get out, and the child was immediately freed. And after this happened, the disciples asked Jesus, and they said, how is it that we couldn't do the work? We couldn't cast this thing out. We couldn't help this family. And Jesus said this. He said, this kind can come out by nothing but fasting and prayer. What are your issues? Are they issues that may need fasting where you pick up the weapons, you pick up the tools that God has given you? I find that most Christians don't pick up these tools. And their life shows it. They don't have the power and presence that they need for every situation in life. So here's an opportunity for you this week to say, God, I want to, just like Ben, I want to change this up. I want to begin to realize some of these things in my life. I want to move forward. This is your week. If you've seen this prayer journal, this booklet, it's just take it home. Just look at it. Even if you don't decide you're going to fast, look at the stuff in this book. I think Pastor Craig has done an awesome job of putting this together. And I would encourage you to fast. Maybe you want to do it on your own. I think it's a time where we do it together is probably the better way. There's strength in corporate fasting, the Bible would tell us. So we've got something going on every night. Tonight is a worship night. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to be praying together, and then Friday is going to be a celebration of what our week has been all about, and we're going to be praying as a congregation. So I'm asking you to ask God, what does He want for you? What's He want you to focus on? What kind of duration, what kind of fast does He want you on? Ask Him. So let's pray. And if the Spirit would speak to you while I pray, that's a great thing. God, I sense that we've got plans. Lots of plans for this week. But Jesus, I believe you're asking us as a church, do your plans include me? Will the plans that we've got nourish our spirits? Will they mature us? Will they give us an eternal reward? Jesus, you may say to this generation, you're going real fast, but are you really going anywhere? I believe you have wisdom and knowledge to share with us, that you could impart to us a better way to live, filled with peace and joy and love and harmony. And God, we could say this as a congregation, we want that. And God, I believe that you want to give it to us. But the question will be, do we want to pick up the tools and do what you called us to do? God, would you be specific with us? Would you lead us in this week? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Heartland Alliance Church audio podcast. If you would like to join us in person, our services are Saturdays at 6:15 p.m. and Sundays at 9:15 and 11:15 a.m. You can find us on the east edge of Sherwood Park on Lakeland Drive and Highway 21. Heartland Alliance Church, leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus.